Warning, this podcast was produced by two men who still think that swearing is both big and clever. As a result, it contains quite a lot of it. Therefore, this podcast is not suitable for children, unless they're really fucking cool children.
Yes, yes, people, it's Dave Fensom here with another episode of Pop Collaborate and Listen. As always, I am joined by your main man, Mr. Christer Greer.
Good evening, everybody.
And a good evening it is.
A good evening, yes, indeed. Yeah, and no, sorry, this is a little bit later than we had initially thought. We got together to record it and then shit happened and we couldn't get it done. So we are, you know, a little bit tardy in it, but we are now back with an actual episode.
Yeah, fucking shit happens, man. It's the way it goes. So look. Thank you, first of all, for everyone that checked out the last episode. Mm-hmm. We are here today to talk about Ace of Motherfucking Base.
Ace of Base. Oh. Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of peak 90s pop, that really.
Mate,
is.
This is peak.
This is big
cultural
pop.
Explosion. This is, I mean, this was a big record because there were huge. Some fucking big singles off of it.
It was huge. And, you know, if we look at it, we're looking at it when it got to number one. And so June of 1994, it got to number one in the UK. And it was number one for 2 weeks. But the version of the album we're looking at and the timing of it, it's all kind of strange because this version is sort of a third amalgamation and just a bastardized version of the original release, which was in 1992.
Yeah.
And so it came out in 92 to some fanfare, but not much, mostly in, you know, Denmark and Germany. It was then repackaged as with a different title. And then it was repackaged with another different title and released in the UK in 94. And that's the one we are kind of looking at here.
Yeah, this is a record that record companies have definitely gone all kinds of different angles on to try and squeeze the most pop juice out of it.
Yes.
And, you know, successfully so. They sold a lot of records.
It did, yeah. I mean, so in 92, it came out as Happy Nation. It was repackaged in 1993 and was called The Sign because the single came out. And USA were like, all right, well, we're not going to do anything new. Just stick The Sign on this and we'll retitle it. And then it was retitled Happy Nation US version to release in Europe in 94, and it sold a ton. You know, because they eventually got whatever marketing thing right, and it went absolutely massive in 94.
And, you know, they did change the tracks quite a bit as well.
They did. They took some off, they put different ones on. The plan was, apparently, that they were going to put out a totally new album in 1994, but Clive Davis, the manager, or the guy who ran the label in America, went, nah, fuck that. Just, you know, put this new single on there, give it a different title, no one in America is going to know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it went 9 times platinum in America in 94. It was the best-selling album of the year in America in 1994.
And that will show you what a big single or two
Exactly, it really does. It's one of the most successful debut albums of all time, if you consider it a debut, you know, the third iteration. It was the first debut album to produce 3 number one singles on the Billboard mainstream top 40 chart. So it was huge over there. It was big enough over in the UK as well. I remember all of the singles. Well, no, don't. That's a lie. I do not remember all the singles. I remember some of the very, very big singles, but there apparently were 6 singles released off this album.
So, I mean, I would never have told you that.
Not at all.
And the weird thing is, I listened to this album quite a bit at the time because a friend of mine liked this record.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of just in the midst of all of the stuff that we were liking, was just like, that was one of his records that he was like, oh, no, I'm into this.
I see.
So, I was never particularly into it. I never owned it. I never listened to it. But it was on in the background when I was places a few times.
You're further ahead than I was because I had never heard this album before at all.
Well, I tell you, man, when I went back to it, remembering that I heard it a lot, I expected to remember a lot more of it than I ended up remembering.
Oh, really? Was it a lot of it not there?
I think I white-noised it out of my brain quite a bit, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Neither of us were mad into it at the time.
No, I remember the singles, and I do remember enjoying some of the singles that I do remember, and you know, they were the sort of things that crossed over so much. My mum was a massive fan of All That She Wants.
Yeah.
Right? My aunt remembers dancing in a club in 93 to, you know, The Sign or whatever. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just kiddie pop. Mm-hmm. It was grown-up pop as well.
It was ubiquitous. It was,
it
you
was
know,
everywhere.
That, you know, it was such a... there are certain songs that just kind of capture a moment in time that are the soundtrack to everything. They're so ubiquitous. They're so everywhere that, you know, on, you know, kind of... they kind of almost become... You know, you almost wouldn't have been that surprised if someone had played this in an alternative club.
Because
it had that, you know, just with a little bit of a nod and a wink or something like that. It
was,
you know, it was one of those tracks that kind of crossed over everything. Was it pop? Was it dance? Was it, you know, was it a bit of reggae?
Well, there's definitely a lot of reggae influence on here, I'm sure.
You know, we love a bit of reggae here.
Oh, God, yes. One thing we do have to just set up here and acknowledge is the rumours and the stories that have gone about for a good while now.
The scandalous rumours!
Indeed, about Ace of Base being a Nazi band.
Yeah.
Because we can't not mention it.
No.
Because we are going to mention it. Mm-hmm. But for anyone who doesn't know, essentially the story was that one of the members of Ace of Base... By the way, here's the thing. Ace of Base is made up of four people.
Yeah.
Did you know three of them were brothers and sisters?
No.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
No, I had no idea until I looked this up. Yeah, so Jonas, Jenny, and Lynn Bergen, they are brothers and sisters.
Well.
And then Ulf Ekberg was the other member, and he's the one who's got a slightly dodgy past.
You say slightly.
He's got a pretty dodgy past.
This is a guy that was associated with some far-right white nationalist groups, you know, and to be fair, the evidence of him being involved with them seems like it pretty much ends around his mid to late teens.
Yes, indeed.
So the argument of I was a dickhead when I was young and I grew out of it is kind of, I think, the one that they've put out there, really.
Very much. Whenever it's been put to Ulf and to Ace of Base in general, Ulf has said, it's a time in my life I am really not proud of. I made some awful decisions. I'm really sorry. He has never said I was a Nazi.
He also did deny it initially. And then kind of got, and then the photographs, and he did try and kind of completely deny anything to do with it until evidence.
I thought he didn't, he said, that's a time in my life I don't like to think about.
Well, I think he said, I was never a member of this group, and then there was a lot, then there was like physical evidence, like paperwork of him being a member of that group.
He was in this old band that were called Commit Suicide, and in this original article, they were said to be a Nazi band. He says they were just like a skinhead band, and so some of the songs that were attributed to them weren't actually Commit Suicide songs. He said, no, that was a different band. I wasn't in that band. But it's impossible to know for sure, because it was like the far right label who put the record out. They say, oh no, it definitely was. I'm not letting Ulf get away with saying he was never part of our scene. But they're also Nazis, so how do you believe?
Exactly. Exactly.
I listened to 3 hours worth of podcasts by this podcast. They're called Unsung Podcast. They did a really good 2-episode show on this, whether he was a Nazi, whether he had a Nazi past. And the conclusion they came to as well was he's got a shit past, but he's not that person anymore. It was him being a bit of an edgelord when he was young. He fell in the wrong crowd, and it's not what he went on to do, and therefore it's also therefore not what Ace of Base are, because Ace of Base were a thing before he joined.
Yeah,
he doesn't write the lyrics, really. Mm-hmm. He's one of the producers, and so to say Ace of Base are a Nazi band is a bit disingenuous, etc.
Yeah, fair enough.
But it's still a good story, and there's still going to be some jokes.
Oh yeah, and there are some bits that when you've got that kind of scent in your nose, it's a filter that makes you process some of the songs slightly differently.
Yeah, we'll definitely see them with some of that. Yeah, indeed. Obviously, if you've heard this before, for me to ask you what are your expectations going into this is probably pointless, because you've got an idea in your head already. I'd never heard this.
Yeah,
I was expecting to like the ones I liked.
Yeah.
Hopefully, maybe get a couple more, but I'm expecting this to be generic and a bit dull.
Okay.
That's where I'm going into this.
I remembered very little of this.
Yeah.
And I kind of went, I'm fairly sure if it was really good, I'd have remembered and liked it a bit. So sure. I'm going at this going, the stuff on this I know that I really like.
Okay.
So is there anything else that kind of matches up with that? Yeah. That's where I'm at, really. Well,
pretty much same as me then. Cool.
So let's start, as we always do, with the album cover.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what this reminds me of?
Oh, go on.
It kind of reminds me of the Blood Sugar Sex Magik album cover.
I see. Well, we've got a couple of... We've got the two women, the sisters, Jenny
you
and
said,
Lynn.
You said women there with such venom.
two women on the front. And kind of a rose in the middle, greens and reds. It's a very strange one. This smacks to me of record company going, all right, well obviously we've had the original album cover,
mm-hmm.
But we need to repackage it. Marketing department, please put something together. Oh, do you want all the members on there? Well, let's see. Two of them are quite pretty, and the other two are just two Swedish blokes. So,
and one of them's wearing a fucking swastika.
Yeah, exactly. So I reckon the marketing department's gone, all right, we'll just take these press shots and, you know, stick a little bit of weird graphic design on. I think it's a very shite album cover, if I'm honest.
But like the back of it, though, to be fair, is the other two.
Oh, is it? I hadn't even looked at the back.
Yeah, no, the back is those guys.
God, that's awful.
I mean, Jesus, wow. Look at the haircut on that dude, man.
No, I would rather not.
All right, so yeah, I don't think this is a great album cover by any means, shape, or form.
No, not at all. It looks very 90s. It looks very primitive, computery graphic design.
Yeah.
This'll do. It honestly looks like this'll
This'll do is very much the way I would. Yeah, that'll do, pick. All right, well, let's just crack on. So this album, I guess it starts exactly as you'd expect it to.
Okay, get the big hit in here. Yeah. Right, so track one is All That She Wants.
Come on.
This was like the kind of their first demo. Everyone knows this.
Of course they do, man. Yeah. It's, you know.
But yeah, this was written by Jonas and Ulfe as a demo called Mr. Ace. They couldn't find the song they're looking for. They heard a different song, which was produced by someone called Dennis Pop. Sent him the demo tape. And then he was like, yeah, but...
Was that guy the Dr. Alban guy?
He was, yeah. I mean, Dennis Pop is a big Swedish pop producer. He has also done, you know, later on after Ace Base, he did Britney Spears, he did Backstreet Boys,
yeah.
Dr. Al, NSYNC, 5. You know, he did big, big pop stuff. But...
What a coincidence, though. A surname like that he ended up...
It's bizarre.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. I think he was in Balloons before that. Yeah. There's a great story about this, though, that whenever they sent him this demo tape, the version they sent him, he didn't like. He didn't like it at all. But they sent him on a tape, and he put it in his car, and he played it. And then his car stereo malfunctioned. He couldn't get it out.
Yeah.
And so he could only listen to that as he drove around. And apparently the more he listened to it, he saw potential and was like, oh, okay. And so if he hadn't had a shit car stereo, this might never have been a hit.
Amazing, mate.
Yeah.
And how many of us... You know, that's the thing. The 90s was the era of the slightly broken car stereo.
Oh, sure.
There's no one that had a car... In the 90s, where the tape player works all the time.
No, absolutely not. It gets caught up and you have to pull the fucking actual tape out of the machinery. Terrible.
What a nightmare. Anyway, so look, the song itself, man.
Yes.
I mean, it's, you know, it's gloriously naff, isn't it?
That's, oh, sure. But it's really, really catchy.
I know, man. Europop reggae. Who'd have thought that would be a thing?
Honestly. Well, who would have thought, you know, four Swedes... Yeah. They're the third most the highest selling Swedish band after ABBA and Roxette.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that the third one would be, well, we got big because we put reggae into it.
I know, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's got this kind of shuffly little skanky break in it. The very, very super farty sax.
The parpy parp.
Oh, mate. The Johnny Farpan sax.
Yeah. There's some insane parpiness on that synth bass. And apparently as well, the demo version was in a major key, but...
Oh, this bit is ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is. But then, Dennis Pop was like, well, we should try this in a minor key, see what it goes. And it worked so much better as this minor key song. I think this is a really, really good song.
I'd quite like to hear the major,
one, true enough.
So, lyrically, it's about a predatory, promiscuous woman.
Oh my god.
Right?
Oh, yeah, indeed.
Schlag.
Is that the Swedish word for it?
Schlagen. Let's not do the voices. It's okay, not with the Nazi overtone.
Yeah, fine, okay.
To turn it into the fucking, do you know what I mean, Hitler Youth. Hip Parade Youth. That's what we could call them.
The Hippler Youth.
The Hipster Youth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... You know, it's
it's slut shaming in 1993.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's because it is. It's about a woman who's going, all I want is a good time.
Yeah.
You know, I just want, I don't want to settle down. All I want is another baby. I admit, whenever this first came out, I didn't listen that closely to the lyrics. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, she wants to get pregnant.
Yeah, that's
she
what
wants
I
another
thought.
Baby. Which is one interpretation, but it doesn't fit.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's where the racist interpretation comes from, because you go, yeah. Oh, it's just an immigrant that wants to get a baby so she can live off the system.
Off the state.
And I think that was in the thing. It's, you know,
indeed.
But you know, this song is the very definition of a, you know, if you believe such things exist, a guilty pleasure. Mm-hmm. I don't have an awful lot of guilt about liking it, to be honest with you.
No.
But it's got hooks of steel, man. You can't fuck with it.
It really has.
You know, it is an undeniable song. It's like, you can say this is a shit song right up until the point that you can't stop singing it.
And yeah.
I've had this song going around in my head for weeks.
Indeed, and this is now 30 years on from this album, and I bet you 18-year-olds still know this song, because it has been perennially played.
Yeah, man.
It's huge. It's a big pop classic. It got to number one everywhere. It was number one in like 13 countries. It sold 3.5 million copies, this song, and it is still played today, and I think it probably influenced a lot of other acts who wanted to go, oh, we'll stick a reggae beat on, shall we?
Oh, yeah.
So thanks for that, Ace of Base.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we're one for one. No surprises.
Track one on the album, that's exactly what you want. You'll get the big hit in. Everyone knows that, and you're instantly into the album.
Right, so let's do track number two.
Okay.
This is Don't Turn Around.
Right, yes.
So this sounds like if the specials had come from Gothenburg.
I'd be up for that. I like it. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's a bit of ghost tiny stuff there.
It's a shame they're not Danish. Because then we could do less specials, more special brew.
Oh, I see. No,
doesn't work.
Sorry.
Right, no. Okay. So obviously best known as an Aswad song probably for most people.
Absolutely, yeah. Aswad had a hit with this in 1988. And I remember that. But it was... It was written by Albert Hammond, who is the father of Albert Hammond Jr. from The Strokes,
yep.
And Diane Warren.
Diane Warren, the queen of the hands aloft ballad.
Oh yeah, exactly. You know, whenever you're listening to Aerosmith do I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, you're listening to Diane Warren in Ex-Chelsea.
Yeah,
fucking amazing. But it was originally written for Tina Turner, and it was a Tina Turner B-side from 1986, mm-hmm. And her version is really good on that.
You know, I've never heard that. Where were you on the Aswad version?
Terrible. I thought it was... I really didn't like it.
See, I really like the Aswad version.
Okay.
I really like that. I think it's a good tune.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, and I'm torn on this one.
Yeah?
Because I do think that this song is objectively shit.
Okay. Right.
And I'll caveat that.
Yes.
I like the lyrics. I like the vocal. I like the vocal.
Okay, you know, yes, I think the vocal on this, I think, again, this is Lynn singing, mm-hmm. And I think she does it really well.
Yeah. But I think all the sounds, the production, it's all ropey as fuck.
You're talking about the keyboard sounds or the tinniness of it?
The keyboard sounds, the drum sounds, the, you know, the kind of, you know, it's, you know, like I described All She Wants as gloriously naff. Okay?
Oh, yes, yes.
And this continues that kind of Euro naffness,
sure.
And
yeah.
But the truth of it is, I am also absolutely charmed by it.
Oh, I see. Okay, but so you don't love it, but there's something there that goes, yeah. But
look, if you can ask me, do I like it or do I dislike it? I like it.
Okay.
Do right. I think it's good?
Oh, right. That's a different question.
No, I don't.
That's a different question. Right. Okay. Because I'm in the boat where I didn't like the Aswad version. And initially, I remember this from the time when this came out in 94. Didn't like it. Oh, hold on. Are we about to get the terrible male vocals? I think we are. Oh, this is just rubbish.
I have written down here, there's a rap bit and it can go and fuck off.
Wow.
I mean, he's no stack of bow.
Who is, man? Who is? So I didn't like this at the time. Because I think I didn't like the Aswad version, so I was like, well, fuck that song. Mm-hmm. Going back to it for this, having never listened to this in the interim, I actually think this is all right. I kind of like this. I think this is a good version of it.
Yeah.
I like the delivery. I think that the fact that it is a bit more minor as well, is a bit more sad behind it or something. Yeah. There's something about it. I'm like... Yeah, this is okay.
So the thing is, I'm sitting here going, this is naff, and
And you're bopping.
And I'm just dancing along. Yeah,
bopping away.
Do, 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 do. Yep. See, that bit that I think is terrible. Do, 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 do. It's in my head.
There is something about these songs. Sometimes you go, I'm not sure about this, but then they'll do a thing.
Yeah.
And it'll be just this little flourish on a keyboard. And you're like, oh, well, that's stuck in my head for fucking days.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
man. Exactly.
Yeah, I remember thinking, I mean, of the three singles I remembered, mm-hmm. this was my least favourite.
Sure.
Going back to it, probably still is, but I am much more positive about it than I was at the time.
Okay.
Much more. I think it's all right. I do. I think this is a good version.
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting
you
to say that. I really wasn't.
I don't think it's a good version, but I do like it.
Wasn't expecting that at all. Just in terms of the Albert Hammond, Diane Warren thing, when, like I say, Diane Warren, she's done everything that you'd expect. Albert Hammond co-wrote with her and some other people. With her, he co-wrote Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now, as made famous by Starship, which is a wonderful song.
That's an incredible
absolutely
song.
Huge. He wrote One Moment in Time for Whitney Houston. Mm-hmm. He co-wrote The Air That I Breathe, which was the Hollies' big hit. And weirdly, because of that, he has a writing credit on Radiohead's Creep.
Brilliant.
Because Radiohead lost a court case to say, because people, or I'm not sure if it was Albert Hammond himself, but people said, well, Creep rips off Air That I Breathe. So he is now credited as a co-writer, which must make millions every year.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
And I bet it'd make even more if Radiohead weren't such dicks and would license it.
Well, very true, or played it ever again.
Hammond's there going, oh, just fucking put it on the advert.
For God's sake. But yeah, okay, so that's track two. So we've had singles to start.
Mm-hmm.
Then track three is the first one, which is a non-single.
Yeah, it's called Young and Proud, which does sound a little bit like a Nazi group, to be fair.
Well, indeed, yeah. If you've got those connotations behind you, maybe don't release a song called Young and Proud.
Uh-oh. Flashing back. I'm definitely flashing back.
Oh, really? What, you remember this?
No, it's a Two Unlimited flashback.
Oh, right. Oh, this is very Eurodance.
Techno.
Yeah, I mean, this is a different sound completely. We've moved away from that sort of slow reggae thing that they were doing. And yeah, wow. We're into Eurodance.
Oh, no, thank you.
Big piano riffs.
Man, this
sounds... that guitar for no reason.
This sounds like reggae techno ABBA. This could be Steps.
Yes. Yeah, no, I get you there. But this is also much more typical of what I remember being in charts at the time.
Oh, God. What was that?
Cheesy dance pop. I mean, there's some... we should probably just get this out of the way. Most of the time, lyrics are not going to be the big thing for these guys because it's pop music and it's in their second language.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to give them grief, really, for writing shit lyrics, but some of them are particular nonsense.
I'm not going to make the same commitment.
I see. You reserve the right, do you?
Yeah. Look, I'm going to say that this track is broadly beyond redemption.
I see, I don't mind this at all.
So you're an idiot.
I think, obviously it's terrible. Obviously it is. But there's something about this I go like, it's ridiculously catchy.
I mean,
I find bits in this to like.
I have written, it's not without its catchy moments.
Yes.
And it's still better than anything on Real Things.
Okay,
you're
two limit, yeah.
But we are, we are uncomfortably close.
I see, on the line.
Do you know what I mean? We haven't crossed into East Berlin across the wall just yet.
Okay.
But there's still a chance you're going to catch a stray bullet. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, all right. Get some shrapnel. Yeah. But you're telling me that the lyrics, anyway, you do it wrong. I'm calling out your name, but you never hear me. Anyway, you do it wrong. I'm giving you my love, though it's never for sale. That does nothing for you, Dave.
No, it does something for me. It makes me angry. Yeah. That's what it does. Come on, man.
No, I mean, this is obviously bad. And overall, I will never listen to it again. I will just preface it that I will never listen to this song again. But having to listen to it 10 times for this sort of thing, there are bits in it that I was able to go, all right, well, okay, this is okay. There's a bit in it. Let me see. Not good.
And do you know what they call that?
Uh-huh.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Well, oh, yeah, they do. There we go.
Yeah.
There's a bit coming up, which is an interesting choice of... Basically, it sounds like the music is deliberately going, like, slowing the record down.
Yeah.
rather than going ding ding ding, it's going ding ding ding.
Yeah, it's kind of got a decay in it.
It's a weird thing. I don't know why they've done it. It's a deliberate thing, I'm sure. That you could, or maybe it's a mistake. Maybe they just did it in the studio and were like, ah, shit. Well, yeah. I've got time to re-record it.
I mean, I would imagine they heard the rest of the track and went, who gives a fuck?
Well, that's very possible.
I mean, you know, at this point.
I think this is very kind of 1991.
Yeah, definitely.
This is that sort of chart rave going on. And there's a couple of bits in it like, but no, it's not a good song. Of course it's not. And that'll be why it wasn't one of the six singles off this 13-track album.
Yeah. Six.
Six singles, man. Okay, well, all right, well, yeah, but I think that's fair. I think, you know, we were decided it's not a good song. I possibly find more to like in it than you did.
You definitely did.
That's all right. I don't mind that. Okay, shall we go into track number four then?
Yes, indeed. And this is, you know, depending on which version you listen to, either the title track or just the second single or third single?
This was the fourth single. Okay. So this came out in February of 94, just before, well, a few months before the album. It got to number two.
Yeah.
And it wasn't on the original album's release, like you say, but then when it was repackaged with this on it, they recalled it The Sign, because this was a big single for them. I could do without that bit. I could do without that.
No, that makes it for me. I'm all about that, man. It's just the in the club style.
No, it went very much, yeah.
So, yeah, obviously, this is a sign. Is it about a swastika?
Who knows?
Well, I fucking hope not, because this is a fucking banger, isn't
it? This is one of my favourite pop tunes of all time.
Oh, yeah. This is easily the best thing on this record.
Straight up.
This is a near perfect pop song.
It honestly is. I remember I was, you know, effusive about this at the time as well, and a lot of my kind of indie mates were like, why the fuck are you listening to this? This is Tetra. Like, no, this is absolutely brilliant. Yeah. This chorus.
It's glorious.
Oh, my God. Understand. Fucking fantastic. Yeah, got to number two in the UK, but it was number one in 14 countries.
Yeah.
It was ranked as the number one song of 1994 in Billboard's end-of-year chart, nominated the Grammys for Best New Artist, they lost to Sheryl Crow, they nominated for Best Pop Performance, lost to I Swear by All For One, this single. Exactly. This song is so good that I don't even think of it as a reggae song.
No, this is, you know... I've liked the other bits, I'm like, oh, you know, it is naff, but I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I don't think this is naff at all. I think this is just a great song.
It's fucking brilliant.
This is like them distilling the thing that they did, and you know, the only problem with this song is this is almost its ultimate form. You probably can't do this as well again.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And it's only just over 3 minutes long, which is an absolute crime in itself.
Don't worry, man. They've re-released so many of their songs so many times over the years. There's bound to be a 12-minute version.
No, of course there will be. Yeah, sure. I mean, and, you know, the lyrics are pretty rubbish. Mm-hmm. But I'd never listened to them before properly, because why would I bother? I just want the chorus. But the lyrics, under the pale moon for so many years, I wondered who you are. How could a person like you bring me joy under the pale moon where I see a lot of stars? What?
Yeah.
Okay. But fuck it, I love it. And this is one of when it goes up there.
Happy now.
Absolutely wonderful. This is one of the only songs on here which is actually an evenly split vocal between Lynn and Jenny. Mm-hmm. Mostly it's just Lynn doing the lead vocal and Jenny doing backup, but they do about half of the song each. And I'd be gutted about this if I were Oof, the one with the alleged Nazi past. He doesn't appear in the credits at all for this one.
Does he not?
No. So he's getting no money for this song.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it says it's written solely by Jonas. So royalty-wise, that's got to hurt you.
Do you know that he's got a really big, like, woolly jacket that he's known for wearing around Sweden?
Are we talking Ulf or Jonas?
Ulf,
okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a big, like a big fleecy, fleecy thing. And everyone knows him about it. Yeah, apparently he's often known as an Ulf in sheep's clothing.
Jesus Christ. Yep. Yeah, that sounds just about right. Thanks for that.
Do you know who bought him it?
No?
Jake Shears.
Oh, God. Fuck's sake. Oh, this was a mistake. Right. Okay, well, you've just ruined one of my favourite songs with that.
That's all right.
I think this is one of the best songs of the 90s, to be honest. One of the best pop songs of the 90s. It holds up to this day.
Get no argument from me.
And the sheer fact that I bought both All That She Wants on day release... and this on day release, and I only have this one from my original ones. that says something about, you know, I kept this because even though I was doing my ridiculous clear, I was like, snobby, oh, I don't need this anymore.
Yeah,
I kept this.
Yeah.
It's fucking fantastic. Yeah. I love it. Love it so much.
It's a great song, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, look, that's the first four songs. We've had three singles in the first four songs, so it's a strong opening section. Mm-hmm. I am very pleasantly surprised. Not surprised. I'm very pleasantly pleased.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of three for four. Yeah. With some caveats.
No, that's fair. Okay. All right. Well, with that out of the way, let's do the albums that were out this week.
Albums.
The top 10, and as you, I mean, this was number one for 2 weeks, so mm-hmm. we've got, you know, a little bit more to talk about that, but the top 10 isn't that different to anything else. It's number 10 is The Best of ELO, number 9 is Division Bell by Pink Floyd, which we've done, number 8, Blur Park Life, which we've done, mm-hmm. number 7, Two Unlimited, Real Things, which we've done, number 6, Deacon Blues Greatest Hits, number 5 is a new entry, and it is Ride with Carnival of Light.
Mm-hmm.
I talked a little bit about this in the last episode when we mentioned the single off it. This was a comeback album for Ride, and I was a bit excited about it, but then I felt let down because it was a very different sound to what I was expecting.
It wasn't the shoegaze that
you wanted. It wasn't that big, swooping stuff. It was a lot more just guitar band, indie guitar, straight ahead indie guitar. And while it's probably not awful, if I went back to it, that's not what I was after.
No.
You know?
It'd be interesting to hear you reappraise it.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Number 4 is Eddie Reader, self-titled, which is a new entry. Eddie Reader, obviously the singer from
Fairground Attraction.
Yeah. And number 3 is Cranberries, Everyone Else is Doing It, which we've done. And number 2, back up to number 2, is Mariah Carey's Music Box.
Well over a year later.
Well over, exactly.
That was a monstrous
record.
It's going
up and down in that top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Much like her vocals.
Well, indeed. Yeah. Right, so we've got a few other albums that were out in the time period this was number 1. We'll start with Little Angels with Too Posh to Mosh, Too Good to Last.
I mean,
which got to number 18.
Yeah, it was a Too Posh to Mosh.
Yep.
I still remember being embarrassed for my country.
Uh-huh.
1994, I'm probably listening to loads of bad hardcore records as
sure.
well, right? And Doggy I just remember dog. Too Posh to Mosh. I just remember just being like, is this who we are? Is this who we are as a people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for anyone who wants to hear our thoughts on Little Angels in general, feel free to go and listen to the Jam episode that we did.
Was that the first album of 1992?
92 or 93.
Yeah.
Indeed. We didn't particularly enjoy it.
I mean, I am not an enormous fan of British Gumby rock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm generally not an awful fan of a lot of the Brit rock output
that
of the 90s.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I have a particular place in Room 101 for the Little Angels.
I see.
Anyway,
sorry. So These Animal Men released Too Sussed, which got up to number 39.
Yeah, so that new wave of new wave thing, like bands like Smash and...
Exactly. It was just one of those very convoluted music press
compulsion.
Scenes.
Compulsion.
Yeah, and I didn't like These Animal Men. I thought a couple of Smash tunes were okay,
mm-hmm.
but These Animal Men, for some reason, they really annoyed me. I thought they were so... It's just like fake
arch, yeah.
Yeah, just they were just putting it on because they wanted to be part of a scene.
Yeah,
I didn't feel like they meant it at all. Maybe they did, I don't know, but it wasn't for me at all. Suicidal Tendencies released Suicidal for Life, which only got to number 87 over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed them entirely at the time.
I mean, look, you know, Suicidal Tendencies, they're a great live experience,
mm-hmm.
They're a great 8 to 10 track greatest hits,
yeah.
They do what they do.
Yes.
And if you like that thing that they do, they will do it.
You're going to have a good time.
Again and again and again and again and again.
Sure.
And I enjoy Mike Muir stomping around the stage mm-hmm. and fucking saying, you know, all I wanted was a Pepsi, just one Pepsi. You know, I enjoy You Can't Bring Me Down and stuff like that. I love Suicidal Tendencies. I am not an obsessive Suicidal Tendencies
fair
fan.
Enough.
You know, and, you know, let's be real, Suicidal Tendencies haven't put out a good record since probably the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, I see, right. So, I mean, this one, Suicidal for Life, I imagine was, well, here's another Suicidal Tendencies record.
Oh, no, I don't think that's the way they ever approach it.
Oh, no, but I imagine even a fan, surely by 94, would be going, all right, yeah, here's another one.
No? Suicidal Tendencies, Suicidal Tendencies fans, you know, there are certain bands where it's more like a cult.
Oh, like, what do you call the clown ones? ICP.
Like ICP, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm pretty sure that there are Suicidal Tendencies fans that just listen to Suicidal Tendencies.
Oh, wow.
Actually, some of them will be like, oh, no, every now and again I listen to Infectious Grooves as well.
Oh, well, yes.
Do you know what I mean?
I'll go crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, talking about, you know, bands where fanatics are into them, Helmet released Betty. We got some number 38.
Great record, man. Great record. I was just watching a documentary this week on Amazon called Underground Inc.
Mm-hmm.
Documentary was made probably about 10 years ago, but I'd never seen. And it was about, you know, they kind of interviewed Pete Mangetti,
mm-hmm.
Who was obviously the Australian guy that was a guitarist in Helmet around this
that time.
Era,
right.
You know. Excellent documentary, actually, about the rise and fall of, like, kind of the bands that weren't the Soundgarden and Nirvana, and the amount of money that major labels pumped into them and what effect that had on the scene and what it did in general. Really, really recommend that as a watch to anyone that's kind of that hasn't seen it. It's available on freebie on Amazon. But yeah, I mean, I love this Helmet record.
Yeah.
It's you know, this was obviously I was really into the previous two albums. This is the one that came out when I was already into and went to see him live.
Yes,
a bunch of times off this record.
Nice.
Yeah, I think this album still holds up. Obviously, it's got that kind of slightly hip-hoppy production on it.
Mm-hmm.
From
more so than the other ones, anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Whereas Meantime was super, super abrasive. There's just something about the way that record sounds, like those
visceral.
Visceral. Those rough-shorn vocals, mm-hmm. those guitars that just sound like kind of, you know, razor blades, man. I love that record. And then this is a departure from that, and it's a more kind of precursor almost to new metal,
mm-hmm, yeah, right,
but not as well. It's a kind of a more hip-hop based sound, because it's produced by T-Ray, who was obviously that guy fairly ubiquitous in the 90s, worked with loads of old school hip hop,
a pretty big name at the time. Yeah,
absolutely, man. Worked with Beastie Boys. He worked with, you know, Cool G Rap, Artifacts. Worked with some of those new metal bands as well, like Korn, Audio Slave, Snot, G Love, and the Special Sauce.
G Love, right? Nice.
Dilated Peoples. Most famously, probably, I Ain't Going Out Like That by Cypress Hill.
Yeah, okay, yes. No, I remember his name being associated with Cypress Hill at some point with that, right.
But, I think Betty's a great record, man. You know, you got, Wilma's Rainbow still holds up, Biscuits for Smut, Milktoast.
Milktoast,
I mean, the song that's got two different spellings, but it's still basically the same song.
Oh, right.
Because it's spelt one way on the on Betty and the other way on the Crow soundtrack that it's on.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even know that.
Don't know why, but...
But you've seen them play live relatively recently. Did they do a lot of stuff off this album?
They played a few bits and pieces. Yeah. I mean, they probably played a couple less than they would have done, because they're just... The tour before this, they were touring this album.
Oh, I see. Right, yeah.
You could hear this whole album in full. And I would have quite liked to have seen that, but it didn't fall at the right time. And again, you know, I talked about seeing Helmet at that time.
All right. There's loads of albums to get through, so let's go on. Osric Tentacles released Arborescence, got number 18.
Don't care.
No, very. Again, I think we said this before whenever we saw them. This was a top 20 album.
Yeah.
Don't know where the fans are coming from.
I'm sure there's probably stuff on it that I would enjoy.
But weird.
Just don't
care. They were a thing. Yeah. Blackstreet released their self-titled album. Only got to number 35 over this way. And this was obviously years before they put out No Diggity.
Yeah.
This is when they were doing their kind of previous stuff. And so number 35, so it's not a big album. They weren't a big deal at all, really, over here.
Nah.
Much bigger in the States, I'd imagine. Da Brat released Funkified.
I mean, I remember Da Brat being a thing, but I don't remember any Da Brat songs.
Couldn't tell you one. No. I mean, MC 900 Foot Jesus put out One Step Ahead of the Spider. And I remember the name, and I remember a couple of tunes, but it was always, that's that weird guy.
Yeah, it was vaguely industrial, wasn't it?
No, I think it's just more on that kind of Justin Moorfield hip-hop tip, where it's just a bit psychedelic, a bit strange.
Okay. I don't know why I always put them in with, like, kind of KMFM, DM.
Oh, no, it's not like that. No, it's more hip-hop than that. But also, I think it was one of those ones that was maybe on the US college radio scene. It was bigger than that.
Right.
It was never fully available in the shops in the UK. And so I never really investigated any more than that.
Could you get it on a KTEL compilation?
I don't think you could.
Oh, okay.
No. Beck released One Foot in the Grave, which was his one after Mellow Gold.
Okay.
And it was the first one that I was aware of where I was like, because in my head, Beck, that's Mellow Gold. He does hip hop. He does weird, bizarre hip hop. And then One Foot in the Grave came out and I was like, oh, he's doing some acoustic-y songs.
Do you know, I don't know if I've, bizarrely, I don't know if I've ever heard One Foot in the Grave.
I heard it and I instantly dismissed it because I was like, oh, well, this isn't Beck.
Yeah.
Beck is Loser. Beck is Beer Can. And then...
But now, I mean, you know, I have a favourite hip-hop Beck album and a favourite non-hip-hop Beck album.
Of course
album.
You do, yeah.
And, you know, if I was only going to choose one to live with for the rest of my life,
mm-hmm.
it would probably be the non-hip-hop one.
Yeah, you it know. Would be Sea Change.
For me, it's Mutations.
Fine, yeah, but that's, I think, is such a genius side of him that he has that. It's brilliant.
Which hip-hop-y Beck album would you choose?
It would
be
Odelay for me.
Midnight Vultures for me.
Yeah, fair enough.
What a surprise. Choose the one that sounds a bit like Prince.
Yeah, true. 7 Year Bitch released Viva Zapata. And I remember reading about those.
I mean, again, that's a name on paper rather than a...
Oh, totally. It's, you know, I always wanted to hear the band Lubricated Goat because what a great name.
Yeah, Lubricated Goat.
Fantastic
what a good name.
Yeah, exactly. Hootie and the Blowfish, what a great name that is. Mm-hmm. Released Cracked Rear View. Not a fucking notion.
No. Not I mean, have you ever listened to Hootie?
No, not at all.
No, they're fucking terrible.
I'm sure.
One of... You look at how many records they sold in America and you go... Oh, you lot all right?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, surely they were just waiting for, you know, Creed to come and take over.
The Dave Matthews Band.
Live, yeah, exactly. Right, Magna Pop released Hot Boxing, and I think they were Dutch. I think they were like one of the Dutch indie bands.
Mm-hmm.
That was their thing, but I don't remember much about them either.
Dutch doing a song called Hot Boxing.
Yes.
Oh, wow, what a...
It's strange.
Yeah.
Reverend Horton Heat released Liquor in the Front.
Yeah, I always liked Reverend Horton Heat, but like never bought their records.
Right, I got a tape of that one, of Liquor in the Front,
yeah.
And I absolutely loved it. I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
Always got a thing for that Southern Fried kind of preachery.
Sure, but then I don't even think I checked out the next one because I had a Reverend Horton Heat album and that's all I needed. Because it's all the same. It's 12 tracks of the same good fun stuff.
Yeah.
But I've got that now.
Yeah.
That's all right. Yeah. And then the last one is Caius with Welcome to Sky Valley.
I never heard of him.
Yeah. So yeah, that came out in June of 1994. Yeah. Welcome to Sky Valley. Did you know that at the time?
I got into Caius about 96, I think.
Oh, okay. All right, 96. Not long after them.
That's kind of where I was at with them.
Yeah.
I was a little bit after the fact, but
I was much more after the fact. Yeah. I don't think I heard anything till after the first Queens of Stone Age.
I know. So I was into Caius before Queens. Right. I was ready for Queens to come out.
Yeah. In terms of Caius albums, would you say that's their best one? Would you advise people towards that one?
I'd say, you can't really go wrong with any of the first three Caius albums. No, yeah. You know, I would say my personal favourite is either Sky Valley or Blues for the Red Sun, depending on which day of the week you get.
Yeah,
probably Blues for the Red Sun.
Yeah.
But Sky Valley's got Demon Cleaner on it. So
You can't fuck with that.
You can't.
You just can't.
But you know, Circus Leaves Town as well. You can't. That's no joke of a record.
Oh mate, of course it is.
Brilliant fucking records. Anyway,
but there you are. Okay, so for 2 weeks of releases, you know, you got Helmet, you got Beck, you got Caius, Reverend Horton Heat, and then you've got, you know, a lot of other bits and pieces. That's a strong 2 weeks, I think.
I think now it's really good. Yeah, we haven't had one of those for a while.
We've had some limp ones. Mm. Yeah, but this is decent. So I'm okay with all of those, frankly. Well, not all of them, but, you know, I think that's a solid show.
Okay, let's crack back in to track number 5, and this is called Living in Danger. Living out of danger.
Living in danger. Yes. Okay, and this was also a single. This was the 6th and final single in January of 1995.
Yeah.
Got to number 18. I don't remember this at all.
No, I don't remember the time. This sounds like a minor key reggae sea shanty.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I've put it in.
Like, why is this? Again, this male vocal bit.
I've put, if you asked AI to create an Ace of Base song, this is what it would sound like.
Right, yep. Okay, I see that. It's taking all the elements you'd expect.
I think this is, for me, this one lacks the big chorus and structures of the singles that really, really work. I don't think this is awful by any means, but I just don't think it's particularly remarkable.
Sure. I think the chorus is the best bit of this by far. I think that's a very catchy thing. Again, when I was going through and listening over and over and over, when it got to the chorus, I'm like, oh yeah, this one. This
And, I, you know, there is that living in a danger. That I will give you that. It's got... It's got a bit.
Sure.
But I don't think it's enough.
Right. It reminds me of something else. I know it's very basic, and it reminds me of something else, and I can't think what it is, but it sticks in my head, this one.
Is it Here Come the Hot Stepper?
Can't
Living in a Danger.
Again, you look at these lyrics. Apparently, in interviews, Jonas Bergen, who wrote the song, has said it's about living on your own and advising people, you know, don't trust people too much. You'll be better by yourself. It's dangerous out there. But you know, Jenny, who sings it, has described it as being about social pressure to engage in dangerous behaviours like smoking and drinking.
Mm.
Like, careful, it's just Swedish kids, don't smoke and drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bollocks in terms of lyrics.
But it's got that, I hate that. That phased vocal underneath.
It's a strange one.
Yeah, no,
and it's got the same thing. It's got the reggae beat. It's got that whistling bit in the background, mm-hmm. which apparently all songs might have to have in this album. But it is a bit flimsy in general.
Yeah, I don't think it's any good.
No. Weirdly, in 2003, apparently Q Magazine included this in their 1001 best songs ever. That's a lot of songs, I'll give you that. But I don't think it would make... anyone else's 1001 best songs ever.
Like, I mean, who was compiling the list and how were they related to the song?
Must be, surely. Yeah, weirdly. The video for this is absolute tosh. I checked out some of the videos. And the very early ones are very basic.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't spending any money. This was the sixth single, like I said. So they've had a little bit of money. But it's just, they're trying to put a message in here about, you know, how everyone lives in a society of mistrust. And we should try and open up a bit more and be more trusting. But it's a proper arse video. There's no need for it at all.
I like arse videos.
Oh, well, true enough, actually. Yeah, Sir Mix-a-Lot has a few of those.
Yeah, yeah.
No. The minor key I like, but nah. It's 5 out of 10.
It's not 5 out of 10. Yeah. It's grasping the air, hopefully trying to get the bottom tip of a 5.
Right, fair enough. Fair enough. All right, well, let's move on then.
Okay, so this one's called...
Voulez-vous danser?
Voulez-vous danser? Well, fuck my life.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, hello. Right, we're off on another different journey. We're not doing the reggae thing again. Jesus.
Oh, yes, this one. Oh, God, this one.
Oh, God, this one.
Yeah, this is a stinker.
This is a weird, weird thing.
Man, this is like a high-energy Stock Aitken Waterman remix.
Yeah. This is easily, for me, the worst one so far.
I mean, yeah, this is one of the...
Straight up.
One of the worst moments of my year.
Oh, I see.
Now, the problem with this is it's already 8 years out of date.
Sure. Oh, yeah. This could have been a 1988 song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like...
And it also... I mean, it's called Voulez-vous danser, and the chorus is basically, Voulez-vous danser with me? Would you like to dance with me? And did anybody request a PG version of, you know, the Lady Marmalade song?
No.
Which... you know, it was a bit risque because it's Voulez-vous coucher. No one was going, well, I can't really sing this in front of my kids, so it'd be good if someone wrote a song which is just, would you like to dance with me?
Yeah, yeah.
Where, but, I mean, this chorus, I don't hate it. It's not awful.
I do.
It's stupid, I don't hate it, but I also think this is what my fear was going into this album, that it was going to be full of this.
Yeah.
It's going to be the singles I knew, and then 8 of this.
Listen, it's like someone's got, you know, like when you get keyboard for Christmas and you put the dog sound in.
Yeah, sure, it's shocking.
It's fucking awful, man. Yeah. This is dog shit.
No, this is very, very bad. There's a couple of elements I don't mind so much, but it's very, very bad.
You're being very forgiving of this.
I am, and I was not expecting to be at this point. But yeah, okay, so that's track number 6. I think we can skip over the rest of that.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, fine, okay. All right, so track 7 is the title track,
yeah.
Happy Nation.
Okay.
This was actually a single. This was the third single, but it came out in November 93, only got to number 42. And then was re-released as the 6th single release in October 94 and got to number 40. So, of all of the singles, it charted the lowest twice over.
Okay. We've got a little bit of Grandmaster Flashy bass in here.
Sure, nice.
This has definitely kind of got a dubby feel.
Indeed. It reminds me of Perpetual Dawn by The Aura.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I
which
can
is,
hear that.
You know, it's got that dub feel to it as well. Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's fair to say, in general, I'm a bit more forgiving of dub than you are.
You, I'm very, very much so. I am not a fan in general, but this version... Oh, and then...
Oh, no.
Then we've got some Enigma.
Enigma.
Why are we... Why, was it the law that you just had to, in 1994, have some Enigma chanting?
Enigma? What are they giving me?
Nice. But then, yeah, we got that little whistling synth back in here. Like, do.
This is the one where you do start asking about the politics of, yeah, of your man.
You do think, oh, you know, it's a little bit white supremacist here.
Yeah, it is a bit like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
Fear of a black planet.
Exactly. You get the lines... for the people, for the good, for mankind, brotherhood.
The dream of the perfect man.
Yes. A man will die, but not his ideas.
So, yeah, you know, like, I kind of don't mind this one.
I really like this.
I think it's a little bit unremarkable for a title track.
For a title track and a single. They released this before they released The Sign.
Yeah.
They thought this was going to be a bigger single. On my first listens through, I think I was unimpressed, but it grew on me and grew on me. I think it's a really good tune, though.
Oh, I do like this one. Yeah, I like this one. I think, like, even listening to it now, I'm looking back at my notes, and I'm like, oh, you may be a little unkind of this in your notes. And I'm going, no, this is a better song than maybe I've, you know, even this, like, which is like probably like a sixth listen.
Right, sure.
But I like these. Nice kind of deep, kind of bassy, like...
There's an Andrew Weatherall mix of Sundetti Ends Only Love Can Break Your Heart, which this reminds me a lot of, because it's got that dub stuff and that the piano when it comes in, and it's lovely. There's a lot of space in this, which I think is really nice.
Well, it's kind of also reminds me a little bit of, like, some Same as a Paradise stuff as
well. Definitely, sure.
Which, you know, I'm
and I must admit, whenever this bit, whenever Lynn comes back in with the vocal, I think it's really nice.
That's really nice.
That drop in.
Yeah. And the way that vocal sits out on the next.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
telling
it's really
me
nice.
Gone to, but that's really good. Yeah. Now, this I'm very impressed with. Also, I think if I'd heard this in 1994, I would have been absolutely dismissive.
Yeah.
I thought it was boring, whatever. But I now think this is one of the better ones, the best ones on this album.
Yeah, it's got a melancholy to it.
Very much.
And
so.
Again,
very much.
Oh, yeah, I like this one.
Yeah.
I very much hope it isn't a Nazi anthem.
Yeah, indeed. There is the theory, and I'm not sure if one of them said it as well, but there was theory, it was... In fact, it was Wikipedia. It posited it as an anti-fascist song.
Okay.
As a retort to the rumours about Oath. And so there's a line, and over time we've learned from the past that no man's fit to rule the world alone. You know? But then they also called it Happy Nation.
Yeah.
So perhaps have a bit of a think before you do that. And apparently, and I don't know why this is, on the YouTube comments, there was loads of people saying, I was listening to this, and then I got my door kicked in by the police. And I was like, what's this? And apparently on TikTok, there is a trend of putting this song over loads of police SWAT videos.
Right.
And I don't know why this song, but apparently this is one of the ones.
I never ever try and understand TikTok.
Oh, no, that's very true.
Right. No, it's not for us.
It's just not for us. But okay, right, so that's track number 7, and I think that's really good. I'm very impressed with that. So happy days with that. Anything else from you on that one?
No, that's about it for me.
Lovely stuff. Okay. All right. Track number 8 then is Hear Me Calling.
Hear Me Calling.
Hear Me Calling.
When you hear me calling,
out your name.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the only song on the album where the lyrics are credited to Lynn and Jenny rather than Jonas and Ove, or just Jonas. And it's also the only one where they get a credit for writing the music as well as the boys. However, I don't know if I'd be particularly proud of it.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want that, man.
No, I would take that off my CD.
This is very much in the cheesy dance.
Yeah.
High energy ballad.
I find this, you know, very tinny, very annoying. Nothing in this grabs me. There's no bit of this like, at least it's got that. There's nothing in here for me at all.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my note here is this is just shit.
Yeah, yeah. In terms of nonsense lyrics, they're even worse than you. It's just... So if I'd written the lyrics, I would definitely...
I came in a black dress. I left in a white.
Deep. fuck's sake. Now, I'm not impressed by this at all, and I would absolutely skip this every single time if I had the choice.
Yeah, no thank.
Yeah, fine. Okay, well, yeah, whatever. That's the next four songs, though. So yeah, we're kind of two-thirds of the way through.
Okay, I mean, less to get your teeth into in that section, I would say.
Less, but it's got one banger.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's got one proper banger. It's a damning with faint praise thing, but I thought I wasn't going to enjoy this as much as I am. Okay. I thought I was going to be much less impressed by this album.
Well, fair enough, man.
So it's not so bad. Not so bad. But we might as well take a little break and do some singles. The top 10 singles in the week of June 26th to July 2nd, 1994. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of new entries, which we'll have a look at. I don't think you're going to get the song, but you might get the artist.
Okay.
Right, so generic Eurodance.
Snap.
No, but yes, that's you're on the right lines. I honestly think maybe two episodes ago I said, oh, well, you won't know who this is, but it sounds like such and such, and it's the same ones again.
Right.
I don't remember this song one bit.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, I know who this is. I do know who this is.
You're...
Yeah, oh, fuck's sake.
Wait, you can almost sing all of their other songs over the top of this. It's called You and Me. That won't help you.
I don't remember this song at all.
Nah, you wouldn't. It's Capella.
Capella.
It's another Capella song.
Yeah. I don't think I was going to get there today.
No, fair enough. I'm trying to think what... I can't remember what sound effect I've got for you getting it wrong. Hold on. Another Fool. There you go.
Oh, well.
Ace of Base telling you're a fool. Yeah, so that's Capella at number 10. Number 9, and here's a coincidence. Because we've already mentioned them.
Shine like a star.
It's Shine by Aswad. Indeed, it is.
Bogling to Aswad.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Shine by Aswad at number 9. Did you like this?
No.
I didn't. I'm okay with it now.
Okay.
I've come to terms with how ridiculously bad this is, but yeah, it's all right. So that's number 9. Number 8 is The Prodigy with No Good Start the Dance. Again, we're doing that in a couple of... Oh, in fact, that's the next one we're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Lovely. Number 7, and I mean, you could have a guess at the title of this because it's not dissimilar to their other one, but you should get who this is almost immediately. Because it sounds exactly like their previous one.
It's a Zig and Zag.
It's
Zag and Muffin.
It's not Zig and Zag. It is the Actuals.
It's a reel to reel
featuring
the Mad Stuntman.
Yes, please. And it's called. It's not called We'd Like to Move It, Move It. It's called Go On, Move.
Yeah, yeah. But it is I Like to Move It, Move It.
Just, it's exactly the same. Exactly the same.
Yeah, the only difference is just doing a different stunt.
Last
time he crashed a hang glider, this time he set himself on fire.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Mad. He's fucking mad.
He's so mad.
What a madman.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh God. He's supposed to fall down the stairs, but he's dead. He's just writing his name and his own shit on the wall. This guy's a liability.
He's
Why
mental.
Have you bought him? He's clinically unwell.
I don't think that fitted in. Reel to reel featuring the clinically unwell stuntman. Oh no.
It would just be at the other end of it. It's like, oh yeah, man, I was supposed to crash a car today, but I just
Yeah.
I haven't got the energy to get up, man. I've had a really hard time lately. Well, she's gone. She's taken the kid.
Oh, God.
I'm just...
He's mental!
I'm just depressed.
Yeah.
Right.
The sad stuntman. Real featuring the sad monk man. Number 6 is Ace of Base with Don't Turn Around, which we've just seen. Number 5 is Dawn Penn, You Don't Love Me, No, No, No. Mm-hmm. Number 4, Big Mountain, Baby, I Love Your Way. Yeah. This is a very reggae-heavy chart.
Oh, my God, it really is, isn't it?
Aswad Reel to Reel, a little bit. Ace of Base, Dawn Penn, Big Mountain.
So we're all getting back to our roots. Our Levi roots.
There you go. Yeah. Number three is The Grid with Something. Number four is All for One, I Swear. And number one is still Wet, 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 Love Is All Around.
Jesus Lord.
I know. Okay. Other singles that came out in this time period. This one got to number 11.
I know what this is.
Oh, yeah, of course you do. And we're going to have to do it.
Oh, well.
Yes, we are. There's going to be...
Oh, is it Oasis?
Yes, it's Oasis. Yeah, absolutely. It's Oasis. Yeah. I mean, is it worth me asking for the title of this one? You're not going to have followed these. You'll know it when I say it, but...
I just can't remember which way the chorus goes on this one.
He doesn't even say it. It's Shaker Maker.
Oh, Shaker Maker. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Shaker Maker. That got to number 11. And like I say, we are going to have to do the full album in a few episodes' time. This one got to number 16. I mean, it's called Back and Forth, because I have to say that. Do you remember who did this? Number 16 in 1994.
No.
I don't remember this, I'll be honest with you. I don't remember this at all.
And it's, you know, obviously it's got that kind of jack swing kind of.
Yeah.
So it's like.
It's one person rather than a group.
Okay, so it's a female vocalist rather than a male vocalist.
Yep. Back and forth.
No, I don't know.
Aaliyah.
Aaliyah, okay, there you go.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
No, I don't really listen to a lot of Aaliyah.
No, not at all. Not at all. Okay, so that was that. This one, I don't really remember, but you might. It got to number 24.
Shut Up and Dance.
Yeah, it's called Shut Up and Dance, absolutely.
Oh, is this Aerosmith?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't remember this at all. Do you remember this?
Vaguely. Vaguely.
Ah, well, I'm going to give you. You got that. Nicely done. I don't remember that one bit. Even having listened to it for this, I don't remember it. Echo Belly got to number 39 with I Can't Imagine the World Without Me.
Mm-hmm.
Charlatans got to number 48 with Jesus Hairdo. This one only got to number 61, and this is one of the ones that I chose whenever we did our One Hit Wonders with
Riot Act
podcast. Remember this at all?
Yeah. Hang on. It's Cedar by Veruca Salt.
Veruca Salt, yes indeed. Yes, it is. Cedar by
Veruca Salt. If you're in America, you're listening to this going, they're not a one-hit wonder. They had...
Oh, I know. Yeah, probably. Well, all right. Similarly, I would call these guys a one-hit wonder. This one got to number 80. This was played in a lot of rock clubs for years at this point.
Sounds a biohazard. It isn't.
Oh, no. No, it's a bit more industrial than that. I mean, it sounds like corn at that point, but this is before that.
What is this? Is it Pitch Shifter?
No. Wrong.
Oh, fucking...
It's the only one I know of theirs.
Man, Cleansing, I know.
Yeah, it's on Cleansing.
Yeah, what's it called? I should have known this. This is just got out of my head, man. A few years ago, I remembered this.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh. Now, is it coming?
What's it called?
Snap your fingers.
Snap your neck. Fuck my life.
Yeah, come
that?
On, Dave. Oh, dear.
No, that... Mate, this is why I don't like recording these at late at night, because my brain is just
it's switched off by now.
And it's like that stuff becomes inaccessible to me.
That one got to number 80.
Set your fingers, set me neck. How do I forget that, man?
Indeed. Kinky Machine released 10 Second Bionic Man, got to 66. Strange Love released Time for the Rest of Your Life, got to number 88. This one, I can't imagine you will know, but you might do. Got to number 89. And it's, I wasn't into these guys at the time. I'm not sure if you were aware of them, into them a bit more than me.
Here Come the Lords, man. Lords of the Underground.
Lords of the Underground, yeah. Yes. Flew On. Right.
I love this first record.
Oh, fair play. Right, yeah. No, this is Flew On, Brackett's New Symphony by Lords of the Underground. Nicely done, nicely done. All right, I gave you that. I'll give you a... Number 15, this got to, and you'll absolutely get this.
There's a calm surrender to the rush of day.
When it's on a soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah. Is it the Tarzan soundtrack?
No, right. No, that was Phil Collins.
This is Lion King.
Lion King, indeed.
I can't remember what's the name of the song.
Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Can You Feel the Love
Can
Tonight?
That's the one. Can You Feel the Love Tonight? Got number 15.
Yeah.
You might get who this is, but which song is it a bit more tricky?
It's L7.
It is L7. Yes, yeah, straight into that. Got to number 34.
This is Andre.
Yes! Yeah. Fucking nice one, man. Wow, I'm impressed. You got that real quick. Andre by L7.
Yeah.
Off Hungry for Stink.
Yeah.
That's a great album title as well. How about this one then? See if you get this. This one got to number 35. And I'm pretty sure you loved this band. And I would have had them down as a one-hit wonder, but you would have told me off for that.
I don't feel the sun's coming out today.
Is that Blind Melon?
It is Blind Melon, yes,
and
yes,
I
yes.
I can't remember the song.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't have got this song title at all.
Name the song.
But yeah, it is Blind Melon.
Yeah. I'm not going to get it sometime.
No, it's called Change.
Change.
I don't remember that one bit. Do you remember that at all? Well, oh, it was a single?
I mean, I don't remember it being a single.
No, fine. Right. All right, so this one, I just start this a bit in as well. Let's go with this. It's got the number 47.
That is Biohazard.
It is Biohazard.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
It's, that's how it is. It's
no.
The other one. This is off that.
It's off State of the World Address.
State of the World. I was on State of the World Address.
Yeah.
It's not Punishment. It's fuck. What is this one called?
They're about to start shouting something.
I know.
Of course they are.
There you go.
No, Hardside.
This isn't on State of the World Address. Oh no, it's State of the World Address. So I'm thinking. I was getting State of the World Address and Urban Discipline confused.
Ah, right. No, this is Tales from the Hard
Tales
Side.
Tales from the Hard Side. Yeah, there you go.
Hard Side!
Hard Side!
Tales from the Hard Side. Yes, yes, yes. And then we'll do one more. And I had a choice of two songs to play off this because it's kind of a double A side. I've gone with this one.
Okay, this is the Root Down EP. Wasn't it? It was B-side. It was Root Down and... I know this song isn't Root Down. This is the one with Q-Tip.
Yes.
1-2-1-2, keep it on. Does it keep
Wait, this isn't Root Down. It's not the Root Down EP.
No, you're right. Okay. I mean, this is fucking. This will come to me in a second.
Okay. But
the ass drag your freaky river. I'm at rock and I talk and I tick and I talk and I can't stop with the body boss.
Yep. Come on, get to the chorus. What's it called? Come on.
That's rough. At the top of the lust. My mind is not blood.
You're just singing along to it.
I know.
Come on.
Shooting on my chisel like John.
I'm never gonna get there.
Dude, get it together.
Thank you.
Get it together.
There you go.
Yes, indeed. It was the other side was Sabotage. This was the Sabotage single. Right. Yeah, right. Sabotage, not really.
And this was the one with the Mom What They Giving Me sing.
No, that was Sure Shot.
Was that the Sure Shot one? Sure Shot. Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
But yeah,
fuck, no. Man, even my Beastie Boys knowledge is getting fucked in my brain now.
I only got to number 19.
Did it really?
Disgraceful behaviour. Sabotage, you only get into 19.
I know. You don't like Sabotage.
Not particularly, no.
I fucking love Sabotage.
Oh, it's a good tune, and it's an amazing video, but that's why I'm surprised it only got to number 19.
Yeah.
It was on TV all the time. Fine. Okay, well, look, there's a really nice mix of singles, I think. There's like a lot in there, you know. You've got
Get It Together. I can't fucking believe I couldn't get that. Oh, my brain.
Your brain, mate. Brain. But let's go back into the last section. Ace of Base.
Okay, so this one is Wait for Magic. This is a song that Timmy Mallett wrote about his minor bird.
What?
You didn't used to watch Wide Awake Club then?
I did. What?
Timmy Mallett famously had a minor bird called Magic.
Did he? I don't remember that bit. I just remember the Mallett.
This is waiting for Magic.
Right, Waiting for Magic. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Wow. And the thing is, it says on this, is the Total Remix 7-inch edit or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what the original was like, but this is the version they put on the album, so that's what we're talking about.
Two Unlimited Meets ABBA.
Wow. Yeah, I've said this is starting off like something from Two Unlimited.
Yeah.
Big, cheesy synth stabs right at the front. And yeah, that kind of the vocoder voice.
This has got my favourite lyric on the album on it, though.
I suspect I might know what that is. I like where you're going with this.
My favourite one is "Kiss Me, Baby." I'm attractive, baby.
but then it follows up with "Baby, get to know me, show who you are, give me that music, baby. I'm eternal, lying in a coffin, waiting for you." pardon me. I mean, this is a catchy chorus as well, though. That's catchy.
No. Awful.
The actual music behind it is dreadful. And I don't understand why they've just gone with that. Did they go, "We need some lyrics by lunch, we're recording this. Just do Snow White. That'll do." What?
Just go ipso. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Ipsum lorem.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I do find this chorus catchy. I find the whole thing a bit strange. But it's got one thing that I'm okay with. It's got that chorus. I don't mind that.
I think it's awful.
Okay. Well, let's skip to number 10 then. Number 10 is called Fashion Party.
Fascist Party.
I not even thought of that. I mean, to me, Fashion Party sounds like a 2000s indie band.
Yeah.
Are you going to see Fashion Party down the Roundhouse? Yeah, sure, man.
Oh, hello. Dun, 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 dun.
I mean,
this is Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh. I was thinking it's KLF, What Time Is Love.
Yeah.
You just put like a... That's What Time Is Love.
Techno. Yeah. Techno. I keep doing it.
But no, Jesus Christ Superstar as well?
Yeah, I think you would need quite a lot of drugs to enjoy this.
This is weird. I don't think this is very good. And it's also the second song that's long on the album, which is pointless. It goes on and doesn't do very much.
I've described this as, this is like the music from a rave in a bad action movie.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I get that. I can see, you know, people pretending to dance to this. But this is pure KLF. They just ripped it off.
Yeah. What Time Is Love?
Yeah.
It's moon.
Precisely.
Moon.
Very good. And there's a shouty bit in it, which is unnecessary.
There's some kind of weird, like, extreme noises near the end that I don't mind as much. Really jumps into... I'm like, oh, okay.
Commit to the fucking mental.
This really is... I hadn't done the fucking What Time Is Love thing, but it really is, isn't it?
Honestly, God. It's the only one on the album where only Jonas is credited as producer.
Well, the onus is all on him, then.
Oh, nice. Thanks for that. but it does make me think that maybe he's not... the whole brains behind this, because I was thinking, well, oops, a Nazi, it can't all be him. Maybe Jonas needs the Nazi balance,
maybe,
because otherwise he just comes off a tosh like this.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, are you saying there's quite a big gulf between them?
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Yeah, that'll do. I'll take that one.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can skip to the end in case there's any of that weirdness going on. Yeah. Just bizarre. Bizarre, bizarre, bizarre. And it's called Fashion Party. It's a song about a model that they've decided to call Connie Walker, which Connie is Walker. Not a particularly glamorous name.
You don't know that.
Okay.
Connie Walker is a stylish woman.
Well, she's apparently so stylish that you really want to be with her, but you cannot be with her.
Cannot be with her.
No, step away from Connie Walker. No. This song, I don't understand one
She's an
bit.
Icon-y.
Icon-y Walker. Mm. I think by this point they've run out of ideas for their songs.
Yes, I think you are correct.
Just gone, this is going to have to fit
the
remit. We
can't put reggae in all of them.
No. Get a KLF track.
Yeah.
Get your man doing some bad rapping over it at some point. That'll have to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, not particularly impressed with that one.
No, thank you.
Let's do... Next one, though. Track 11.
No thanks, I wrote there.
No
thanks,
you have.
Around.
Big letters. So the next one, track 11. This was the second single.
This one?
This one was the second
Wheel
single.
Wheel of Fortune. What you gonna tell your dad's like a
wheel of fortune. This was actually the first single that was released in Denmark. And so it kickstarted them off over there and kind of in Europe. But it took three releases to get into that. But then it did make a dent in there and they went from there. But this was the second track. It got to number 20 in August 1993 in the UK. What? I don't remember this one bit. But yeah, there you go. Back to the classic Ace of Base reggae.
This is a plodder, though, isn't it, this one?
It is. I've said that I think it sounds like a first effort.
I've written it squidges about and does fuck all.
Yeah, it's very basic. It doesn't really go anywhere.
Not very good.
And it sounds like it was written by somebody whose English is not good at that point. This is one of the first things they ever did, I say again. It sounds to me like they were taking tropes from other songs and just doing it themselves. They hadn't really found what they wanted to do. There are some bits in this that are shockingly bad. In the bridge, there's a male response to the female singing, which is just cringy to listen to.
Call and response is a hard thing to get right.
I don't get it. There's a bit that reminds me of Carly Simon's Why, which I do like. There's an element of that. But yeah, I don't think it's the worst song on here, but it's got very little to...
No, it's not the worst, but it's... it's probably second worst of the reggae ones.
Sure, yeah. No, I don't get... I definitely don't get why there was such a second single.
No, God, no.
No. Oh, no.
Just sounds like a fucking sex call.
Oh, it's disgusting. It's just disgusting. He's
even disguising his voice so it can't be caught.
That's a fucking rookie error.
Phaser, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. We've all done it, but you know.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's a bizarre one. I don't get this. I think it's a strange choice for a single.
Wheel of Fortune, No,
fine. Okay, number 12. We are coming to the end of this album. There's only 13 tracks that we're doing. So number 12 is called Dancer in a Daydream.
Dancer in a Daydream.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean, it does feel like we're coming to the end of an album where they've run out of ideas at this point.
For sure. Yeah. This, to me, it's like a techno version of Popcorn.
Oh, I do enjoy a bit of shit Popcorn. That's a very silly song.
Yeah.
Did you know that there's, obviously Popcorn is, it's got its own sound to it. Yeah. The same people did a version of Apache.
Really?
Yeah, and it sounds wicked. I mean, it sounds like Popcorn, but with Apache break. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So I've put here, I think this is like relatively dismal until the last 2 minutes.
Yes.
And then I quite like it.
Yeah, it goes a bit fucking wonky after a while.
It goes wonky and then the vocals come back in and it just kind of, it's pedestrian again. But there is a moment in this song where it kind of comes to life.
All right, but let me see if I can skip to that because this is just generic, right? So let's see if I can get to this. All right, let's go from here. So we're like nearly 2 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
We've had this. This is what's happening. I think it sounds a bit like an unfinished demo in general. But, it does then.
This sounds like a song they're playing as you walk into a dance club. But this is...
Mm.
Come on.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello, bro. Yeah. Now, this bit is all right. It's a different vibe to it. And there is a bit, I think it's right at the end. The very final line. It appeals to me. It's a line I may start trying to use in day-to-day conversation. Let me see if I can skip to that. There you go. What? What are you going to do? I'm a bold explosion.
A bold explosion?
A bold explosion. Yeah.
What are you going to do with my bold explosion?
There's a question. What are you going to do? I'm a bold explosion. It's like, you've got me there.
Yeah.
I have no comeback.
I've got no insurance against that.
No, get a bold explosion.
I believe that's an act of God.
I like it. I think it's a disarming. If someone tries to mug me,
yeah,
it's like, what are you going to do? I'm a bold explosion, mate. Yeah, walk away.
I see you've played bold explosion knee spoony before.
Yeah, very bizarre.
Right, okay, move on.
Move on. Last track on the album then. And this is, well, it's called My Mind, but it is specifically the Mindless Mix, apparently. So again, I'm assuming that there was an original version and they decided this was the one that was going to be on this version of the
so
album.
So it's called My Mind, but it's mindless.
It's just my.
Okay.
Bit of a duck quack, 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 quack underneath there.
Oh, hello. Ah.
It's a bass in your mind.
Oh, Ace of bass is in your mind.
Good lord.
Fucking not.
Yeah, they're going for a bit of a harder dance feel on this, maybe?
Mid-tempo, bad techno.
Darker synth things. Oh, there's a piano.
No.
Yeah, wow. I mean, this is utter nonsense.
This is 100% really bad.
Rubbish.
Really bad. Yeah. Appalling vocals coming in a minute.
Yep, let's have a bit of this. Is this... Oh, yeah. Is it Everyone Everywhere, Dance or Fade Out? Is it that?
Something like that.
I think in their heads, right, they think this is their serious dance tune. This is going to get played in proper, you know, techno clubs.
Listen.
Yeah. Drama. Everyone. Everywhere.
Everywhere. Attention.
Ace of bass in your mind. Yeah, melodrama vocals.
Oh, load of shit.
But no, I do think that they were like, oh no, well, this one's the one that we'll send out to the real DJs. They'll get it. They'll realise that we're not just a reggae pop act from Sweden. No. Yeah.
So there's a decent breakdown around 220-ish.
Oh.
Dance or fade out.
So shit. Are those the two options?
Oh my god. Right, 220, you reckon? Here we go. Let's find a bit of that. It's ridiculous.
But look, man, look. Let's just give this some context. When we're talking about this type of dance music,
yes.
Next week we're talking about the fucking Prodigy.
Yeah, indeed.
So that's what you're competing with.
Yeah.
This is competing...
That's what you could be doing.
The standard is Jewel Generation is going to come out and that's going to be the kind of stand... Mm-hmm. And I appreciate spoilers for next week.
Well, yeah,
week.
True. Yep.
I mean, I haven't listened back to the album yet, so maybe it's absolutely rubbish
now.
No. It's not held up. But, mate, yeah. No, this is
what's going on.
This is rubbish. This is no way to end this record.
This is a strange, strange one. But everyone, everywhere... That's all right.
Dance or fade out.
I don't expect to be taken... Well, do they expect to be taken seriously? Maybe they don't, and maybe that's the point. I don't know.
It's almost like if that was done in a much higher arching camp, it's the kind of thing you'd hear on Drag Race.
Oh, I betcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dance or fade out.
Okay, well, look, that's the last song. That's a 13-track Ace of Base album that I never thought I was going to listen to.
Yeah.
Fine. Shall we do some social media responses? See what other people thought.
All right. So, okay. So, Walker Tate, my stepsister, was into this in the era when you had one CD that you listened to over and over. And though it was better than a lot of her music, it did get more than a little old. It's kind of quirky nostalgia fun now, despite all that Nazi baggage. Speaking of the Nazi connection, I made a snarky comment when the sign was on the radio. My ADHD wife went down the research rabbit hole. not as clear cut as one would think, but come on, you don't just sign on with the Works and Experiences label and think that that will never come up.
Yeah,
which is pretty much where we're at.
Yeah, indeed. And like I say, I did listen to that that big deep dive podcast into the whole thing, and it sounds like we're probably making jokes whenever they're not warranted. But that's fair. You know, fuck it, it's jokes.
Yeah, well, you know.
I've got Barnaby Salton on Facebook said, I think one of them was a Nazi. So we seem to have a few people for this. This does not come under the category of fond memories, by the way. Plus, a friend of mine who is a session musician played on one of their albums. Apparently, they were quite nice and played a lot of table tennis.
Okay, fair enough.
That is one of the most Swedish things I think you can say about someone. Yeah. They were lovely. They played lots of ping pong.
Sure, man. I mean, Niall Bakewell from Zeros has just basically posted the lyrics in Ich bin ein Auslander.
Yes, Niall.
and described it as very blonde fash house.
Fash house. Our friend Ellie Maidment said the alternative playground lyrics of The Sign that went something like, I saw your mum, she opened up her legs and said, come on. I don't remember that being a thing.
I don't either, but we weren't in the playground.
But thing is, there is...
Well, you were.
Hey, there is a whole page. She's linked to a website called The Law of the Playground.
Yeah.
And where people apparently can just, you know, put in, oh, this is what we used to say. And there is a slew of people going, no, this is what we sang in our one.
Oh, wow.
And so that apparently it is a thing. I saw your mum, she opened up her legs and said, come on, life is demanding when you're doing it on the landing.
Nice.
You know, classics like that. I saw your dad, he opened up his legs and said, not bad. So it's all, there's just an entire page of this was a thing in kids' playgrounds.
Fair enough, man.
Yeah.
Giovanni Bien. Apart from the weird genetics of three siblings, where some of them had been more blessed by genetics than others.
It's true.
Nicely worded.
It's true.
There was always the undercover that the brother saw his sisters as dispensable vocalists while favouring the curtain-haired talent vacuum. that said, while the faux reggae is offensive, the singles had more hooks than the average wardrobe. Nice. Mm-hmm. I remember a big, joyful group sing-alongs of The Sign in school, but also once we got to uni, every white boy with a guitar was doing annoying acoustic covers of All She Wants.
Oh, wow. Oh, God, that must be terrible.
I can imagine that.
Jesus. Oh, I'm glad I missed out on that. God. Nick Shepherd says, I had it on cassette when I was in the sixth form. I think England had a reggae summer as Shaganemas and Pliers were handing out bangers. And it is true, you know, we started off this season with Shaganemas and Pliers, and we have just kind of increasingly been swamped by reggae pop.
Give me some reggae.
Give me some reggae.
Yep. Request the 90s. Also, they got the name from Ace of Spades by Motorhead. Shame they didn't call themselves Bass of Spades.
Bass of Spades. That would have been good too. Matt Bradley on Facebook said, with the exception of All That She Wants, which I will happily defend as a really good pop song, they were a band I'd never given much time to, although I do remember The Sign as well and a god-awful Aswad cover. I did skim through this record yesterday, though, and the lyrics to the song Happy Nation really don't help them refute those Nazi allegations, do they? Leaves you wondering what was the sign that opened up their eyes actually was.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Sarcastic but fantastic. Hi, another quick turnaround. Keep it up, lads. Sorry to let you down there, guys.
Yeah,
in terms of this album, I only know the singles. The Sign is a tune. All That She Wants is fine. It's a bit overrated. Mm. I prefer the Aswad version of Don't Turn Around, and that's all I've heard. Have a good one.
Oh, well, no, fair play. Warren Avis said, oh, gods, this is one of the first albums I bought with my own pocket money as a kid. I loved it. Played it to death. Apart from the obvious, at the time, my fave was Living in Danger. The album in itself hasn't held up to the test of time, but it's been a blast from the past. That was it for me. That was a mixed bag of emotions. So he said that Living in Danger he liked, and I did quite like that one. I thought that was a good tune.
Fair enough.
And also, Cat Rose has said, I had their album on tape. All That She Wants was definitely a summer track. It made me think of waltzers and arsing about in the sun. Happy Nation felt very meaningful, obviously, because it was in a minor key and had Gregorian chants. So to a 12-year-old girl, it was obviously the Holy Grail. However, titles such as Young and Proud and Happy Nation should have been a clue.
Yeah, fair enough.
Russell Perkins, you know Russ.
Oh, no, of course.
Yeah, he says a lad kept playing his The Sign single on a school trip to France. It did our heads in. However, he was the hardest guy in our year, so we got to play it.
I mean, that's just the way that works.
But yeah, no, thank you everyone who did get in contact about that one.
Sure.
I mean, there's not a lot of people saying it's dreadful. There's some people who were, you know, kids at the time going, I remember this.
There's not a lot of people with a firm memory of the album, though, either.
That's
right.
Yeah, that's also
so
true.
So everyone remembers the single. So look, man, this is, I think it's a pretty bad album.
I'm much more positive about it than you then, because I think it's okay. I think it's more than half all right.
I think it's a bad album with some very, very strong high points.
Sure, okay.
I think if this was a 6-track album, it would be almost perfect. Mm-hmm. If it was a 10-track album, it would be a decent album.
As a
13-track album, it's beyond baggy at that point.
Oh, you can trim it. You can take 3 tracks off it very, very happily.
I mean, you can take a lot more than 3 off of it. I mean, looking at it, I think there's 4 good songs on it. Like, really good. 4 actually good songs on it.
I see. Okay.
I think everything else is a different level of bad.
Fair enough. Okay, I think... I suspect we might be on the same track on the 4 good ones. I think some of the other ones are actually all right. I do think that some of the really catchy bits in there that I'm fine with those.
Okay, fair enough, man. So we need at least a track.
I mean, The Sign is the obvious one because it's the best song.
Well, we have to put we can't like The Sign as much as we do and not put it on.
No, that would be disingenuous. Bang. It's brilliant.
I reckon we should have another one.
I would put another one on. Do you want to do one of the singles?
I would. Well, I think I do.
Okay.
But not one of the big 2 singles.
Happy Nation?
That's exactly right.
I would be straight up with that. I think that's a great choice. Let's do those 2.
Lovely.
We don't have to do a third one, I don't think.
No. I think that's fine. Okay.
Sweet. I'm very happy with that. Okay. I am actually pleasantly surprised.
Look at the accord we came to there.
Brilliant, brilliant.
It's almost like we've done this before. So look, we're back.
Back with The Prodigy. Which is going to be
music
great
for the jilted generation. Yeah. I'm looking forward to revisiting this album. I loved this album at the time. I hope I still do. Yeah. Right, guys, thank you so much for joining us. As always, if you agree, disagree with any of our stuff, please get in contact via our various social media. This is also the time, if you're listening to us as it comes out, to be bigging up the fact that we are doing a live podcast. If any of you played along with our pop quizzes in lockdown, which is going back 4 years now, can you believe? We're doing a live version of that in Brighton Fringe this year. We're doing 3 dates at the Carolina Brunswick. They're Wednesdays, unfortunately. I wish they could have been weekends, but to be honest with you, we are very much trialing this thing to see if it works or not.
Exactly,
so, rather than
taking what we're given,
I think rather than pushing hard to steal someone's good weekend spot, guys, if you're a fan of the podcast, we'd love it if some people that actually listen to the podcast could come down.
You fancy it?
Tickets for sale now, they're on BrightonFringe .com.
I'll put the link in the description of this.
Yeah,
podcast.
We'll put the link in the description. Come down, find us. We're going to have a lot of fun. We've got some really, really great guests. We've got some guests that have been on this show before, friends of the show, and some comedians from around Brighton. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be more fun than it is a quiz.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, but that's the balance of it.
You know, come along, and you know, if it's successful, who knows? We might do it somewhere else.
There you go.
Anyway, thank you for joining us, and I'll see you next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thank you for checking out this episode of Pop Collaborate and Listen. It was produced and edited by us, for which we can only apologise. We are on Twitter at PCL Podcast, on Instagram also at PCL Podcast, and facebook.com/PCL Podcast. All of these, plus links to our various Spotify playlists, etc., are on our website, which is PCLpodcast.com. Please feel free to get in contact via any of the social media or on PCLmusicpodcast@gmail.com.